Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to The Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tammy Turner. I am your host for the show. Today, Thursday, the 11th month, the 10th day of 2016, we're here to report on our day at the election poll. We started by doing a show a few episodes ago about registration. So, you know, my son is 18. Well, he's 20 now. And we started out telling you some time ago that we registered to vote. And we wanted to, you know, get our forms out, and we had to show ID, and we had to put our information in the, you know, form. So we start with form for myself and a form for myself so parents and teens can go together and grab the form, and you get the form online, and you grab your forms and you fill them out. You put your name, your date, you know, dates on the your signatures, and then you put your address. And there's more important information that's needed to register. And then after you register, you return the form, and soon you'll receive a card with your name on it. And then you'll just process, after the effort's been processed, you will get your voter's registration card. So we were successful at registration. We received our cards. And we told you about going to the election before the real election. So we went to we did that, and we were successful with that. And then the goal, which was on the 8th here in New Jersey, we got information prior to Election Day. We got information which were sample ballots. And sample ballots, you know, are a poster-size paper, and it gives you all this information about the different candidates. So what we did was we looked over the ballot, and we saw Trump, and we saw Clinton, and we saw all the other representatives from the different parties, and these things are outlined in detail there. And we saw all of these things, and we, you know, paid attention to each candidate, and some of them have pictures so that you can see exactly what the candidate looks like, and it tells you which party they're representing, and then you can make a decision by going online and, you know, Googling or, you know, searching whichever search engine you use. You can search for your candidate's name, and you can read up information about the person. You can find information about their background. You can find out about current events that they're partaking in. And you can also watch television. And they'll do all types of things, speeches and different things, to let you know what their interests are. And they also do current events. Sometimes they'll do groundbreaking ceremonies. Sometimes they'll meet with different organizations and different things of that nature, so that you'll get an idea about what they're going to support, you know, as the new president. So we did all of that, and we watched a lot of television, and we learned about each candidate. They sometimes wear clothing if they're going to see different people. Sometimes they, you know, wear clothing or ties to represent that body. So color codes sometimes work to let you know who they're talking to and what they're representing as they speak. We watched that, and we had a good time learning about our candidates. My name is Tammy Joyner. You're here at A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio, and we're discussing Election Day. So far, we talked about registration, our voter's registration card, and our sample ballot. We also took time as a family, Martell and I, to talk about the candidates together as a family. And maybe you as a teen or as a parent would like to discuss your political viewpoint and, you know, also denote your party to your teens, which because they're becoming 18 and eligible to vote, sometimes families like to vote together. So if you vote as a Democrat, sometimes the parent is already a Democrat and would like their children to vote Democrat as well. And sometimes you're a Republican, you might like to vote Republican as a parent, but when your child becomes of age, you might like your children to vote Republican as well. Sometimes these things don't pair well. Sometimes you don't have the same representation, you don't have the same outlooks on life, and sometimes startup for children, sometimes when you were a teen yourself and you got your first voter registration, you may have been a Democrat or your parents may have been them. But sometimes as we scale up the economic scale and sometimes as we look for projections, sometimes when we see who's worthy of the seat, sometimes we vote accordingly, and we have to instruct our children. So what I'm saying is that sometimes your children may take their own party and may not necessarily, take your suggestion for the same party that you represent. So we talked about this, and I told my son that he was, eligible, and it was his option to decide who he would like to vote for, and to just denote each party so that he would understand that there are available options, and if there's anyone politicking or rallying around, that it wouldn't be wrong or rude or against family values to listen to other candidates, because they too have good ideas for our system and also for the government. And also, just in case your candidate is not the winner of the election, you then will also know the viewpoints of the other candidate that is selected. So we had discussions on that as well. So next up, we discussed Clinton versus Trump. So we talked about the pros and cons of, Clinton versus Trump. So what would be some of the pros? Well, some of the pros we discussed would be having our first lady president. That could be a pro or it could be a con, depending on how you looked at the situation. Having one of the richest men in the world become the leader of America could definitely be a pro because he's business savvy and he's a part of our government, and he's an example of a successful person who has worked with the government and gained, all type of, assets and valuable companies and buildings, real estate, and everything else like an airline, et cetera, et cetera. So, we talked about these pros and cons, and we even discussed it as a con. Would it be most appropriate at this time with all the terrorist attacks to have a female president? Do you think that when we're, worried about the issues that we have, like homeland insecurity, would it be most appropriate at this time to have a woman represent us? Or did we hear say that this was an issue that he could take care of readily because from his economic standpoint, he could readily see that this was a issue of poverty, terrorism. So we wanted to make sure that we selected the candidate that could readily, deal with the terrorism, and not only deal with it and walk with it and try to, suppress it some, but someone who could actually, in a term, bring it to a close. So Trump did say that he was able to do that. So we discussed some of those issues. We discussed the slander and some of the defamation that went on during the rallying for the seat. We discussed the commercials that depicted Clinton, as a, rude woman that always spoke very, inappropriately against Trump, who always pointed out his shortcomings, who always said that, he was a bad person and inappropriate for the job, opposed to just highlighting her, advantages, as, a part of her campaign. So we also looked at Trump, and we saw that he was highlighted in some of his commercials and he was shown, as a person who could really, wipe away problems with relative ease, and that his, business savvy and his Republican background and his, you know, his freedom with money, you know, made it easy to see that wiping out some of these, you know, economic difficulties, you know, was just, you know, sometimes a democratic problem and just a problem of poverty. And because he was over it, you know, he could definitely see some ways to, you know, heal some of the problems that was here affecting the people. So we looked at that and we talked about that, and we thought it was wrong for either candidate to, you know, slander the other candidate. And we thought that in future campaigns, we would like to see candidates talk more about what they could do for our government, opposed to making the other candidate look bad. You're here at the Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tammy Joyner, and we're discussing Election Day, how to approach it as far as registration, how to discuss it with your new team who may be approaching voting age, and also how to process some of the information that, you know, they may find or view if they're watching television or on the computer, as far as, you know, how to deal with, you know, their approach to the American people, you know, whether it's campaigning with, you know, tact and respect for each other, or if it's like a, you know, all-out brawl where it seemed to be a lot of slander and defamation. So we also talked about what was necessary at the polls. So we went in after we got a sample ballots on the day. I went into the 5 Neptune Boulevard in Neptune, New Jersey. That was the voting site and the polling place. And so I brought ID. I brought my sample ballot, and I also brought my voter's registration card. I had to sign next to my name where I had signed in previous elections. I had to take a ticket, and I was ticket number 304 waiting in line as the person, I guess they had seen 300 people, and I was on the list as 304. And I went into the booth. The booth has curtains, and so we wanted to talk about that because we wanted to talk about orientation, you know, what to expect at the voting polls. So because we're not here in a futuristic type approach to voting, and we don't have voting centers or we don't have voting places that are, you know, there, you know, consistently with the voting booths, and that you only open them on election day, program them, and then, you know, have the people come in and vote. With that type of advantage, we will be able to have a better, more accurate voting situation, and it will be a safer situation for, you know, those to have a definite site and not just a makeshift site, a fixed site in our our departments, our, you know, different departments like that, schools and stuff like that, you know, it's so makeshift that everything sometimes is not computing properly. So, you know, in the future, maybe that's an endeavor where we would just have a building or a, you know, office, you know, devoted to polling, nothing but polling booths and, you know, the polling representatives during elections for a more accurate, safer, and consistent type approach to that effort. You're here on A Theory of Parenting. My name is Tammy Joyner. We're discussing Election Day. So we went into the voters' booth. We went past the curtains. We closed the curtains. The screen looked exactly like the same. Looked exactly like the sample ballot, so I had an orientation. It wasn't, I wasn't confused. And, I picked who I wanted to select, and I put the X, you know, by pressing the button. I could put X's by everyone's name that I wanted to vote for. I did that. Then I pressed the button that said cast your vote, and it was done in an instant. And so, you know, all that preparation and preparing is like a course or class, and in school, and we did a lot of study to prepare for this particular day and event. I was elated. I was happy. I was satisfied. I got a sticker that said I voted today, That was a part of the, you know, finale. You know, they're at the polling booth. And I returned to my son's home. And there we went on to have a moment of silence. We played some music, and it was music devoted to, you know, some of the songs like Martin Luther King's song about some of the hard times that, you know, some of the American blacks had during the process of getting the right to vote. So we remembered that that had been a difficult time in our American history and black history, and that today we had exercised our right and went into the polling place and actually did what so many other American blacks never had a chance to do and died before, you know, this was our right. But we remember that, and, you know, tears came to my eyes when I thought of things like that, and I always want to participate because I don't like, you know, having that type of, you know, a sad type history, you know, on me, and then say now they have the right and they don't even exercise their rights. So I felt, you know, that was a definite gain for our people and for the American public to have, you know, insight on, you know, each individual, knowing that they go out and vote and exercise their right to vote, and that they're actively involved and they are civic-minded and they do care about what happens to their future and the future of other Americans. So we'll continue to do that. So we have plans for the future, you know, to maybe have parties after Election Day, and hopefully your family can get together with some of their choice friends and, you know, have, you know, a history moment or have a Election Day party or rally while you watch both candidates, you know, watch the others poll in, watch the citizens poll in, and, you know, just watch news, have some music, have some food, and just remember how important it is for us as Americans to vote. I was proud that Trump won. I wanted to stay. My personal viewpoint is that I know that there's never been a woman president, and that at least if we didn't know anything else, we went in the tradition of this country, and that we elected, you know, another man. And I don't think that women are, you know, insufficient as, you know, leaders. I think they're sufficient, but this has always been, you know, that way. And I'm just not sure, I wasn't sure if Clinton was ready for, you know, such a title. And I don't think if the title has been I don't think the office has been prepared for simple things, you know, for a female president. There are certain things like the first lady always picks the first, you know, the dishes to have, you know, formal dinners at the White House. So I think that I don't know whose task that would be if the president was a woman now, and then would then her husband pick the dishes, or would it be her chore? These are simple things, saying that, you know, maybe this hasn't been rewritten as of yet, and we would have to play it by ear if these things were to become an issue. And there's a lot of, you know, redecorating that has to be done, you know, as the task in the role of the first lady. So when you have a first man, I'm not sure if all of this has been redesigned for his task and his responsibilities to the American people as the spouse of the first lady. So I think we need time, and I think that in time these things will become issues. And once they're, I don't know if it's going to take a bill to change things. I don't know if it's just a new direction. But whichever way it goes, and, you know, things are designed, and, you know, those that have to come to order in order to prepare for more involved and important tasks, you know, careful not to make a man do women's type, you know, chores, you know, this vice versa type reverse role playing and stuff like that, you know, is definitely an issue. So with that, it would take some changes, and then, you know, I guess at that point we will be ready after everyone has resolved those issues. So there's more about that, you know, to come, but we definitely had a wonderful time this election. we talked about intimidation at the polls. My son said he didn't want to vote this particular election. He had his voter's registration. And I have missed elections. I actually missed the Obama election. I didn't vote in that election. And my son chose not to vote in this particular election and said that he would vote in, you know, years to come. And that we discussed online at Facebook voters' intimidation. So if you're intimidated at the polls where they're, like, snappy, jumpy, and asking you a lot of questions or acting like they don't want to give you your right to vote or, you know, saying, you know, they can't find this, they can't find that, and making you feel like that you shouldn't be there to vote, then there, you know, are intimidating factors that keep some people from going to the polls. You know, it's a frustrating good day, it's an angry day, you feel abused, violated, you don't know who's watching, who's going to say that you didn't vote for the Democrats or you didn't vote for the Republicans, that's why you're never going to have anything. You don't know who's going to say different organizations within the company, the police, other family members saying, you know, with statements about, you know, how to vote or who you better vote for, who you better not vote for, or I don't even want to see you at the election because I didn't vote till I was, you know, 40 or 30 or something like that, trying to make you a paradigm or something like that or cast you out of a system when you really like to stay involved. We had that type of intimidation with this particular election. I even got an ignorant comment from a police officer after I voted. He said, you voted Republican and you didn't vote Democrat, and this is a Democratic city, and you didn't vote for anyone in the city. And he said that and just walked and just rode away. So voter intimidation definitely happens. And so if you're dealing with that, you know, there's a lot of information that you can you know, find out about online, and sometimes you need to see a lawyer and, you know, discuss these things with them so that they can file claims, you know, and make reports for you every time, you know, there's issues. That's our story for this time. Until next time.